This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
When I was a kid, we had a guest preacher come through, an evangelist, and he preached through the book of Revelation, and he said, in the last days, let me tell you what they're going to have. They're going to have a global government, and there's going to be a figure who is going to emerge, who is going to be charismatic, and who is going to unite all of the people, and he's going to promise change, and then there's going to be a false prophet, and he's going to be the Pope of Rome. And he's going to say, yes, we need that global government. Let's have it. And everybody's going to follow through. And I remember sitting there and thinking, wow, can you imagine this kind of a scary scenario taking place? And now I'm hearing from conspiracy theorists all over the world who already think that Barack Obama must be the Antichrist of Revelation, who turn and open up their newspapers yesterday. And what do they see? Pope Benedict XVI saying what we need is a new economic world order. The 666 microchips are on their way in the minds of some folks. My question is, when you hear the Pope yesterday saying we need bigger global government, do you think that that is the way that we can solve the problems of global poverty and environmentalism? I don't think that this is any kind of end times conspiracy. I think, as a matter of fact, as I read this encyclical today, sitting at Chick-fil-A here in my local neighborhood, there's a lot of it that is really good. There's probably 80% of this document I could agree with and say, yeah, you're diagnosing some very real problems, and you're also shooting down some proposed solutions to global poverty and environmental concern that are just wrong-headed, like forced abortion, population control, those kinds of things. But there are other things in this document that do kind of make you scratch your head and say, ah, I don't think you're seeing the full picture. But let's just bracket that for a minute. Pope is right that we've got really serious concerns out there in the world when it comes to hunger, when it comes to ecological problems, when it comes to poverty. And as he puts it, a globalizing world in which technology is outpacing our ability to deal with the technology. And he says what we need are bigger government structures that are going to be able to police all of that. Do you think that's the answer? If not, then what is? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If government is not the solution, then what is? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And Pope Benedict XVI is rocking the world today with a letter that he's sending to the churches saying, let's face reality. We've got a world that is hurting and is in need of, as he puts it, love and truth. And a truth that works itself out through love, and a love that works itself out through truth. But he's got some specific political proposals, some of which I think might work, and some of which I think are really naive. And there are a lot of people, including my guest here in just a few moments, who is a Roman Catholic, a good friend of mine, who say, you know, sometimes people ought to stick to what they know and not find themselves making specific public policy proposals about things they don't really know about. That's a Catholic talking about the Pope. We'll hear what he has to say about that in just a few moments. But I want you to join in the conversation. 877-893-8255. When you hear people saying, not just the Pope, but anybody, saying, you know, there ought to be a law. We ought to have more government aid. We ought to have a bigger government. How should a Christian think about that? I don't think that's as easy a question as we sometimes make it out to be. But what's your initial response to the idea of a global government, global government structures? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. But first, in the news, all kinds of things happening here during the time of the full moon, including the fact that a British university claims that it is able to create human sperm out of embryos. They will soon be able to, at least theoretically, fertilize an egg with sperm that has never come from a man, that it's just been constructed through a laboratory. Now, what I want to say about this is, first of all, this does not surprise me, because I don't know whether or not this is true, that they are able to engineer this particular technology, but we're not able to keep track of technology right now as it is. Technology is galloping along and ethics lagging behind the technology. I think we need to, when we hear this kind of thing, first of all, recognize that the reason there's such a market for this is because there is a very real hurt all over the world of infertility. And we need churches that are able to say, okay, when we look at these Frankensteinian technologies out there, taking embryos and using them just as so much fodder for research, why is that taking place? It's taking place because there's a market. Why is there a market? It's a market because you have people who are confused on the one hand and who are also deeply, deeply wounded by the pain of infertility. We need to be able to speak prophetically against those scientists who are going to bypass the one flesh union, who are going to bypass the natural order in order to create seemingly children as things rather than as gifts. We need to speak prophetically to that, but we also need to speak pastorally to people who are in a situation of desperation in which they will say, I will do anything in order to have a baby. There's a way that local congregations can speak to that with prophetic power and also with pastoral sensitivity. I have to agree today with Nancy Pelosi. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Don't agree with her on a lot of things, but I agree with her about her refusal to have a United States House of Representatives resolution honoring Michael Jackson. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, who spoke at the memorial service for Michael Jackson yesterday, she said there ought to be a House resolution honoring Michael Jackson as a humanitarian hero. And Speaker Pelosi says, you know, I just don't think we're going to do that. She says that a resolution would open up contrary views that are not necessary at this time to be expressed in association with a resolution whose purpose is quite different. That's a diplomatic way of saying, not on my watch. And I think Speaker Pelosi is exactly right. We can recognize the talent of Michael Jackson. We can recognize the tragedy of Michael Jackson. We can recognize the really sad kind of a life that ended in such a pitiful and sad way without saying this is something that we're going to commend. This is a life that we're going to commend. Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana has signed a law expanding Louisiana's conscience protection for healthcare workers who are saying they're not going to participate in abortions or abortifacient drugs or working with research upon human embryos or dispensing the morning after so-called birth control abortion pill. Governor Jindal says we're going to protect the consciences of workers in Louisiana, and I say hats off to him for that. And President Obama is warning that the swine flu is not over. President Obama says that there could be an aggressive resurgence of the swine flu virus sometime this fall, and that in October there are going to be vaccinations, and that the states and state-run hospitals will have vaccines ready if they're able to get them ready in time. That's a chilling word for hypochondriacs like me. Just when we think we're beyond the swine flu, we hear it could come back and even stronger than before. But we don't have to worry about theoretical diseases today. There are real diseases all over the world. There is real poverty all over the world. There are real ecological calamities all over the world. And a religious leader has spoken to it. Pope Benedict XVI has said, we need to, as Christians, join truth with love. And we need to alleviate suffering and poverty and environmental degradation. And one of the ways we need to do it is to recognize that we need bigger government, including bigger global government all over the world. What do you think? I have to say, I'm a fan of a lot of the things that Pope Benedict does. And I really like a lot of what he said in this letter that he's written to the churches. But I don't see how more bureaucracy and bigger global government is going to help the world's poor. Maybe I'm wrong. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is government the solution to poverty? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are talking today about a letter from Pope Benedict XVI saying that the world needs to come together and address issues, pressing issues of disease, poverty, environmental degradation, and the Pope has some biblical solutions. He also has some very, very specific policy recommendations, and you will notice the kinds of headlines that have now appeared all over the world. Pope calls for new economic world order. Pope calls for global government. Some of these headlines, if you actually read the encyclical, are a little bit blown out of proportion, but there are some very provocative suggestions being made in the Pope's letter. And my question to you is, do you get nervous when people, religious, political, or otherwise, talk about stronger government to deal with problems of poverty? Do you think there is a place for having a more centralized, bigger government address these problems, or do you think that'll just make it worse? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join in the conversation. When we think about malaria and extreme poverty and environmental problems, if not government, then what? 877-893-8255. But first, we have on the line my friend, Dr. Robert George, who is professor of law at Princeton University. He's director of the James Madison program there. He has served in so many capacities in his life, including on the President's Commission on Bioethics, on the United States Commission on Civil Rights. He's been a judicial fellow to the United States Supreme Court. He's written numerous books and many scholarly articles, and he is one of the preeminent spokesmen in the world for issues that matter to social conservatives when it comes to matters of life and of marriage and other issues. And I'm very, very honored to have Professor George with us today to help us think through what the Pope's letter to the churches is really about. Professor George, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you, Russell. The honor is all mine, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you, my friend.
You know, I just read this afternoon the encyclical from the Pope, and it wasn't nearly as incendiary as I thought it would be from reading websites and articles and newspapers all over the world. It seemed a little more nuanced than some of the headlines.
I think that's right. Of course, any kind of complicated anything in the mass media world is going to be oversimplified. And that's exactly what's gone on here. And very often, oversimplification means distortion. Mm-hmm. Now, complicating the problem here is the fact that people with agendas, and here I especially have to fault the people on the left. It's not just the people on the left, but mm-hmm. I would say especially people on the left, because they're driven by an agenda, have wanted to twist the Pope's words. They've wanted to lay all the emphasis on one side of what the Pope says, but completely ignore the balancing points he makes. in order to use the Pope's words to advance their agenda. Now, these are usually people who don't care 2 cents for what the Pope says and hold the Pope in contempt.
Right.
They hold him in contempt because of his views on the sanctity of human life and the dignity of marriage as the conjugal union of a man and a woman, and his witness in the culture for the place of religion in public life and for religious liberty. But all of a sudden, they've decided they're going to embrace the Pope because they can use his words by taking them out of context, by leaving out the balance to advance a left-wing agenda. And I think we need to speak up against that, whether we're Catholics or Protestants or people of any religious faith, but who share our belief in core Judeo-Christian values, the values of the dignity of the human person, the dignity of marriage, the sanctity of human life. We need to speak together against this kind of manipulation.
I want to come back to that in just a moment, Professor George. But before we do, you have here a Catholic and a Protestant talking about a papal encyclical. And I think that a lot of listeners of the Albert Mohler program probably don't really know what a papal encyclical is. I think that many Protestant evangelicals assume that their Catholic neighbors have an understanding of if the Pope says something, it's infallible and it's true, and that means that whatever comes out of the Vatican now is equivalent to Holy Scripture. Is that the way it works?
No, I'm afraid that's not the way it works. Sometimes I wish it were the way it would work. I wish sometimes that the Pope actually had the kind of power and authority that some people seem to suppose that he has. But he doesn't have that kind of power and authority. Very, very few of the Pope's pronouncements, even from the Catholic point of view or even from the point of view of the Pope himself, are infallible. You can count them on one hand historically,
mm-hmm.
literally.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not proposing any teaching in this encyclical infallibly. And even when it comes to teachings that are not proposed infallibly, where the Pope is not invoking what Catholics believe to be this charism, this gift of teaching truth without the possibility of error, even when he's not teaching in that domain, there are different levels of authority that the Pope and the bishops teaching with him in the name of the Catholic Church can invoke. And sometimes those are pretty high. Sometimes, even with respect to non-infallible teachings, the Catholic faithful are called upon because of the nature of the teaching and the way it's presented to conform their intellects and will to the Church's teaching. For example, there's not an infallibly proposed teaching against human cloning.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, the teaching that the Pope and the bishops have made against cloning is presented in such a way as to require that the will and the mind of the Catholic be formed around the proposition that it's contrary to the dignity of a human being to create human beings by cloning. Now, that could be, it's in theory possible on a Catholic understanding for that to be wrong, but the Church is so confident that it's right that it's going to demand obedience of the will and of the mind to it. And then there are other teachings which are essentially prudential teachings about economic matters, about certain sorts of policy matters upon which reasonable people can disagree, many of the matters on which this encyclical is focused, where there's not even that level of authority being proposed or assent being required. The Pope expects to be listened to respectfully, especially by Catholics, his views and analysis taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to bind anybody's conscience.
So if you disagree with certain parts of this letter from the Pope, that doesn't make you Martin Luther.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I think today Martin Luther would agree with so much more of what the Pope says than what a typical liberal, including a liberal Catholic, would believe.
Yeah.
it's almost an irony to invoke Martin Luther in this kind of discussion. So many Catholics have gone so far to the left, especially on core issues of Christian faith on which Orthodox Catholics and Protestants and Eastern Orthodox Christians agree. So many have gone so far to the left that they're beyond any division that of the sort that you got with the Reformation. But your point is correct. You're not placing yourself out of communion with the Catholic Church if you don't agree with policy prescriptions that are not handed down, invoking the kind of authority that we have with respect to the teachings on abortion and on marriage and on sanctity of human life and so forth.
All right. We'll be right back with Professor Robert George of Princeton University. My question to you is, how far should religious leaders go in speaking to political issues? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know what you think. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
The Pope has spoken to issues of global poverty and disease and environmental distress in a letter that he has written to the churches about how, in truth and in love, Christians ought to think about these issues. My question to you is this. When you think about, maybe you're an evangelical Protestant like I am, you don't have a pope, but you have a pastor, or you are a pastor, how do you think a preacher of the gospel ought to address political issues? When you stand up and start dealing with specific issues, and the Pope has dealt with specific issues in this document, he speaks generally, but he also speaks very specifically, where's the line when you kind of move beyond your area of expertise? Where should we draw the line when it comes to speaking to political issues without losing our prophetic voice? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's help think this one through. I have on the line with us today Professor Robert P. George, who is professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, good friend of mine and fellow editor at Touchstone Magazine, and I am always delighted to hear what Professor George has to say when it comes to these issues or others. Robbie George, I'm wondering, as you read this document, this papal encyclical, and we'll talk in a few minutes about how it's being used, what do you like about it?
Well, what I like is the reaffirmation, the strong reaffirmation of the historic Christian teaching, the teaching that is shared by Protestants, Catholics, Eastern Orthodox Christians, even beyond Christianity, by Orthodox Jews and others, of the profound, inherent, and equal dignity of every human being. And it's that basic principle that the Pope, again, reaffirms, reaffirming its implications for issues such as the sanctity of the life of the unborn child, the sanctity of the life of the elderly person who might be vulnerable to euthanasia and assisted suicide. I like the use of that principle to ground the support of the institution of marriage as the conjugal union of husband and wife, the rejection, the very clear rejection that the Pope has in the encyclical of the idea of alternative sexual lifestyles, again, the reaffirmation that the proper and only proper place of sexual behavior is within the context of marriage, where it's life-giving and love unifying, love transmitting qualities are completely intact. I like all of those things about the encyclical. I also like the fact that the encyclical says that it is the responsibility of Christians to worry about our brothers, the least mm-hmm. of our brothers, not simply the unborn or the frail elderly or the retarded, but also the poor, mm-hmm. Also those who are suffering from various forms of discrimination or abuse or whose human rights are being violated. Those are concerns of Christians just as much as our concerns with abortion and so forth. But we shouldn't let that focus take us away or distract us from the fact that the Pope really is reaffirming the whole Christian picture here, including the defense of those human beings who are, in our own Western developed societies, the most vulnerable. We don't have the kind of abject poverty here in the United States that you do have in some parts of Asia and Africa, but we do have unborn children being slaughtered literally by the hundreds of thousands, more than a million, a year. So the Pope is keeping those kinds of things in balance, and I think that's very good.
You know what I loved about this letter is that he talks about the fact that you can't have a concern for ecology, for the environmental ecology, without a concern for human ecology. And he talks about the way that we think about human dignity, that you really can't say I'm pro-environment if you're doing away with human dignity through matters of abortion and reproductive technologies and euthanasia and other things. That's exactly right.
I agree with you, Russell. I mean, the nice thing about the encyclical is that it stresses the integral nature of Christian belief. It's a whole package. It's all knit together in a coherent whole, and you begin to go awry when you veer off of any of these great traditional Christian teachings for the sake of some non-Christian ideology that's gotten hold of you, whether it's liberalism or whether it's Marxism or whatever it is. And I think Christians need to be reminded of the integral nature of the Christian faith, that our Christian story is one that hangs together as a whole, and we've got to keep it together as a whole.
Well, I am holding in my hand somebody who is really enthusiastic about the papal encyclical, about the Pope's new letter to the Church, Jim Wallace of Sojourners. You're familiar with that name. And he says the Pope has just endorsed a very liberal social justice agenda, and let's listen to what the Pope has to say. I'm not a Catholic. I don't have a Pope. But I like a lot of what's in this letter, and I disagree with some things that are in this letter. And when we come back in just a moment, I'm going to find out whether or not Robbie George thinks that this is an endorsement of liberal, big government socialism. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are talking today with Professor Robert George of Princeton University about this new encyclical from Pope Benedict XVI, talking about how Christians ought to respond to, among other things, global poverty and disease and environmental distress. And we're talking about how Christian leaders and others can speak to political issues without speaking beyond their level of expertise. There are some specific governmental applications made in this encyclical, and we're going to talk about those in just a second. But first, we have Ted on the line calling from Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Ted, what do you think about these issues?
Well, you talked about leadership. I think it is a very, very bad idea to give one person so much power over a larger section of the country.
Okay. All right. So big government isn't the answer for you?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let's talk about how do we address some of these really, really pressing issues facing the world that the Pope, I think, rightly diagnoses in a globalizing society. Professor George, Jim Wallace of Sojourners and several others who have been calling for a long time to move away from some of the more, as they put it, divisive social issues and toward government solutions to poverty, the environment, and other things. Jim Wallace says this is a really, really fine papal encyclical and that everyone should study it with careful and thoughtful study. He says its richness and depth will add new insights to Catholic social teaching. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the first person who should study it carefully is Jim Wallace. And if he studies it carefully and in the light it's supposed to be studied in, which is in the light of the long tradition of Catholic social teaching going back to Pope Leo XIII at the end of the 19th century and then carried on by later popes, including John Paul II, what he will find is far from an endorsement of socialism, a very direct and powerful condemnation of socialism and a defense of the principles of private property and the market economy. Now, of course, the popes also say that the economy has to be regulated and that the point of private property and the reason we have a system of private property is so that the entire community can benefit and flourish from the prosperity and the social mobility that economic freedom, properly regulated, makes possible. So this is not by any means an endorsement of socialism. It's really not an endorsement of big government either. There's something we've got to add to the discussion here. And that's a principle that the Pope explicitly reaffirms and endorses here, one that is central to the entire tradition that this encyclical is in of Catholic social teaching, and that's the idea of subsidiarity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with it, Russell. I know you are. This is the basic principle that power should be exercised at as low and small a level as possible to solve the particular problem, and that higher levels of government should only be used where a problem simply cannot be solved at the lower level. Mm-hmm. So it might be for certain sorts of environmental questions, you really need international cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
You need some sort of a body that's constituted by representatives of different nations working out solutions to solve free rider problems and other problems that arise unless you get everybody on the same page agreeing to certain norms to protect the overall common good. But anything that doesn't require a solution at that level should be at the national level, or even better, at the regional level, or even better, at the local level, or best of all, at the family level.
Exactly.
That's the principle of subsidiarity. And Jim Wallis and people who are trying to hijack this encyclical and make it some sort of agenda for socialism are just reading the principle of subsidiarity out of the encyclical and out of the tradition.
Robbie, do you think, when you think about all the pronouncements that are made, these specific policy pronouncements that are made, either by groups like the National Council of Churches or the National Council of Catholic Bishops and others, do you think sometimes we get so specific in our policy recommendations on everything that we lose our ability to speak prophetically to certain things that are very clear?
Russell, I agree with that 100%. And not only do I agree with it, I was invited to address that specific issue at a meeting that included many Catholic bishops at Catholic University. It was actually a meeting celebrating the 25th anniversary of official diplomatic relations between the Vatican and the United States. And I was asked to address that question, and I said that the Catholic bishops, as a conference, and the leadership of the Catholic Church in general, has made the error of speaking too much about too many issues where there was not specific religious expertise, that we had gone so far from clarity and moral principles into areas where reasonable people can reasonably disagree, that the Church compromises its moral witness on issues that are very, very clear. So it's true that, Christian teaching extends to pretty much the whole of social life. It's, it's true that, justice requires the attention of Christians to all the range of issues, including the economic issues and the environmental issues and so forth. But in many of these areas, the simple application of moral principles, even Christian moral principles, doesn't solve them. Prudential judgment, economic, psychological knowledge, other sorts of expertise, scientific expertise is required. That preachers as preachers and priests as priests and bishops as bishops don't possess. And there, what the churches and what church leaders, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, should do is, sure, pronounce the principles, emphasize the principles, call for work to be done, but leave it to the laity to provide the specific decisions, whether we'll have a minimum wage or not. If we have one, what level? That's not anything a pope has expertise on or a preacher has expertise on. That what we need to call for is Christian justice, Christian charity, the principle of natural justice as Christians have always understood it, and where there's a clear application, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, we can speak very clearly to a specific issue. But where the application is one in which reasonable people can disagree, then it's time for the leaders to let the laity take charge, which is, by the way, as I pointed out to the bishops, a specific teaching of the Second Vatican Council of the Catholic Church. And I was a little surprised, Russell, that my remarks were received with enthusiasm by the bishops themselves, even though I was critical of them.
I'm surprised as well. Thank you very much, Professor Robert George. I'm glad you're on our side.
Russell, thank you. Same to you.
What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. How should religious leaders think about addressing political matters, and when should we stop? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Maybe I should do a show about Derek Webb. You think so? Denny Burke, my friend and colleague, has a pretty good review of Derek Webb's new album at dennyburke.com. I commend that to you. And a lot of the things that Derek Webb is singing about, those things are represented in this papal encyclical, but I think in a much more carefully thought through way. I don't agree with everything in this letter by a long shot, but I do think there are some good principles laid down, and there's a good diagnosis of some of the problems. And one of the things that I appreciate that is said in this document is that we've got a sense right now with technology and with globalization that we're all very, very close to one another. And what this letter says is technology can make us neighbors, it can't make us brothers. I think that is exactly true, but I think the Pope goes overboard in some places in making specific policy recommendations, including policy recommendations that I agree with. And I think that this is where Robbie George is right on. And I love this guy. Well, during the break, he was recommending to me a Dolly Parton, Tammy Wynette, Loretta Lynn version of I Forgot More About Him Than You'll Ever Know. And this is a guy who not only knows his social theory and his church history, he also knows some good old country music as well. So I appreciate that. But Robbie George says, you know, there's a way in which we can speak to too many things in such a way that we don't have an opportunity to speak to anything. I think that's right. And I think that's not just true with Catholics. The United States Congress isn't sitting around wondering, what does the United Methodist Church say about energy policy? But for so long, we have spoken to everything. And I think sometimes in some local congregations, some of our preachers do that. We speak to so many issues that have specific policy recommendations that we're really not able then to speak prophetically to those issues that are very clearly revealed in Scripture. As I mentioned the other day on Ask Anything Wednesday, I've got a position on gun control, and I've got a position on taxation, and I have a position on some specific environmental policies, but I can't say, thus saith the Lord, about those things. I can say, thus saith the Lord, you shouldn't poison a river. I can say, thus saith the Lord, you shouldn't kill a child. I can say, thus saith the Lord, you shouldn't exploit workers. But I can't really say, thus saith the Lord, about what the minimum wage ought to be. That takes prudence. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the things that matter here on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.